The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I've tried a lot of different things to get these. There's a couple squirrels that keep wanting to eat the tomatoes and my apples.
Oh, I got it. Don't plant tomatoes.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, hanging out on this Monday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Credit to all three of us here. We all three had the Bengals winning on Friday, so and Beards had Bengals 3-2.
I was going to, but if you remember, I said it's hard to pick against the Chiefs.
What was my score, Jason?
Your score?
I believe I know it, but no, I'd like to make a brief point, but I want to make sure I'm correct first.
Your score was 31-27.
I would have been right if Patrick Mahomes hits Jerick McKinnon, or maybe would have been right if Andy Reid goes for it on fourth down.
My score was 31-24. Beards' was 3-2. Mick, what'd you have?
27-24, I believe, right? Just the wrong teams.
So you got it wrong.
Spots.
So you got it wrong like everybody else.
I was less wrong than you guys. And I did preface it saying I really want to pick the Bengals.
Because you like them. You're a fan of them.
Huge fan, yeah.
You shouldn't have worn your Bengals jersey in here.
I mean, if there was like anything on the line here, you know, I would have gone Bengals.
If it mattered.
Why don't we let Mick do a round of zone predictions next week? Because we are so bad at it for our video.
For us?
Yeah. You can pick the zone in our predictions video that we do every week. All the shows have a rotating cast of characters. Beard has been all right. Jason and I have been a smoldering crater. We're just burning fake money over there.
You have been Buzz's girlfriend.
For how many games?
Chiefs over under, Chiefs money, or Chiefs point spread, and then one other point spread from anywhere in the NFL that week.
Yeah.
Jason and I believe our last two times out have each lost our entire budget of 100 fake dollars.
Chiefs never cover.
Well, you can choose either side. Like that. You can choose either side. You can choose.
Yeah. Not to cover.
But I picked the Chiefs. No, I did win the Chiefs covering against the. Didn't I do Rams last week?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I did Rams last week. So I had Chiefs to cover. So I got that right. But I only put like $10 on the Chiefs covering because I wasn't confident about that. I was confident about the over, which did not hit.
We've had our issues this year.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Bring in a ringer.
I was also confident when the Chiefs were down 14-3 that I went ahead and placed a little wager on Chiefs plus 165 at that point just to win outright. I'm like, oh, when's the next time you're going to get the Chiefs plus 165 with still 3.5 quarters to play? Or it felt like, three quarters to play. Like, I don't know that that's going to happen again. I'll go ahead and take my chances that the Chiefs find a way to get this done. It's very early in the game. They could have.
They could have.
Some would say they should
have.
But they did not have
all three of those games.
They lost all three by a total of 9 points. 9 points.
This was the one they had the smallest lead, right? Because they were up 11, I think, at one point in that
game in Cincinnati.
The regular season game. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, up 18.
21-3.
In Kansas City. And this one was 7, I believe, was the biggest lead, right?
What was that? 24-17? 24-17.
Then the Bengals scored the last 10 points.
And then they got the ball back still with the lead. The defense held the Bengals to a field goal. But they couldn't hold them out of the end zone and couldn't hold them from the field goal. Couldn't hold on to the ball.
That's the holding issue.
Also a big part of that as well. So we've obviously talked a lot about that over the course of the show today and had Field Yates on, heard from Andy Reid as well, weighing in, and heard from Mick Schaefer for a few minutes weighing in on that. We got some great nuggets from Mick in his few minutes.
If there's one thing I bring to the show every time, it's my nuggets.
Mixed nuggets, baby.
Great nuggets that he brings to the show. So there's about 50 different things we could talk about with the Chiefs that we did talk about, but there is a victory over the weekend, and that's Mizzou beating Southeast Missouri State in basketball. Let's get into
another
it, everybody.
90-point game.
Look,
man,
I'm accused of, if Mizzou does anything good, I'll still ignore anybody else and only talk Mizzou. That I didn't mention K-State today, apparently, even though we started the show talking about it. But I didn't mention K-State, but I'll be damned if Missouri did something, then Jason would have spent the first hour and ignored the Chiefs. So let's talk Mizzou and Southeast Missouri State. Are you worried that a slight win against SEMO is just a precursor of them really getting run out of the gym on Saturday against KU? Because that's concerning. Their defense giving up way too many points. Can you break that down for me, Mick? And then we'll get to KU football and their bowl against Liberty, Missouri football, and then we'll get into Chiefs and Bengals.
I actually watched most of that game yesterday. Because I work on Sundays, and we have like six TVs going.
I've got three. I didn't watch.
And we ran highlights.
I've got three TVs.
And they were putting them away.
I'm just joking.
And then they let them back in.
I don't want you to talk about it. I don't care.
Okay. But I kind of like Dennis Gates' approach of like, listen,
just score a bunch of points and you let them
play defense, okay?
Everybody's gonna
but
score.
We're getting shots up. I think sometimes they don't even bring that fifth defender across half court to play defense. He just stays in cherry pick mode.
This is I'm just gesturing at Beards because I was hoping you would say the phrase cherry pick mode. Oh. It's Beards' favorite form of basketball.
Look, Dennis Gates plays basketball.
It should be done a lot more.
A Friday night.
And that's how soccer should be played
on
too.
Mixed cul-de-sac.
Yes.
Everybody scores.
Oh, yep.
Or cherry picking.
It's a fun game. It was a really, really entertaining game.
And we have no defense for it, just like Missouri.
In Dallas. That's right. They literally have no defense. Down in Dallas, a fun game, entertaining game. A game that went back and forth. When that game started, I thought, oh no, K-State might be in trouble because TCU pounded Iowa State last week and they're out to show that they're the team that everybody's picking against. And did K-State end up being favored in that game before the game started? I think they.
Ooh, I don't. Not that I saw, but
it was like
I mean,
2-point like TCU.
It was
thing,
two
I
or something. It was two and a half. There was something before, and maybe it might have been a different game yesterday that I was looking at. That there was a team 2 days ago that was the dog, and then day of ended up being the favorite. So yep, K-State finished -1 at kickoff. K-State was a 1-point favorite at kickoff. And so TCU has this, we're undefeated, we're the ones getting picked against and doubted for, I don't know, 12 weeks this year we've been doubted. And they came out, and it looked like they had the juice.
That first drive,
it was like, uh-oh, for K-State. But I feel like that game is sort of a microcosm of Chris Klieman's program in just steady as she goes, just continuing to move forward. You cut into the TCU momentum and hype. You score. You get the ball back. You score. By the way, going forward on 4th-and-1 and scoring the touchdown for Klieman, getting a touchdown on that drive where they went forward on 4th-and-1 to tie it up. Could have kicked a field goal. Said, you know what? We need points. TCU came out. They look good. We need points here. No. 4th-and-1, let's go for it. Let's do it. And he went for it a number of times in the game, and so did Sonny Dykes.
It was like a Chiefs game.
Right before half.
It was like a Chiefs game. K-State controlled that game almost.
It felt like. Outside of the first drive from TCU, I felt like K-State controlled that game.
They absolutely did, and probably should have won by more, but then you let them back in. You have a muff punt, right? I still maintain a bad call on the knocking the ball out of the quarterback's hands, and the safety, we're calling on an incomplete pass.
I don't understand the ruling. I know the rule book, and I know what the rule says, but if the ball never leaves the quarterback's hand and touches a defender and immediately lands 5 yards behind him.
I mean, if it's an... Okay.
How is that an incomplete pass
if it lands behind you?
This should be K-State's ball. I mean...
By the rule that was... an intended pass. Every pump fake is an intended pass.
Right.
You pump fake the ball, and if you get stripped at that moment, you can say, oh, nope, hey, that's an incompletion. Go ahead, we'll go and play second down now. He took the ball out of his hand, and it moved it backwards.
That's the biggest part for me. If it lands forwards and it knocked down, I'm like,
sure.
Okay, I guess we're talking, it's going forward. But, I mean, a pass, which they called an incomplete pass, that lands behind you, is a fumble. That's a live ball.
That didn't go forward out of the hand first.
So no, I can understand. It never left the hand.
Leaves the hand, hits incomplete. It, goes backwards. Yeah, totally understandable. But that I'm trying to find I got tweeted the actual breakdown of the rule.
I saw it too, but I feel like
and I just
even
want to
that,
read it just
that
to,
rule doesn't explain everything that happened in that play. A play I've never seen before.
I mean, I would have guessed. Just as the Kentucky Mizzou the punt thing, like I would have guessed 30 yards behind the punter you don't get protection of in the box, which is really just in, as I've said, the what is it, the tunnel,
Yeah,
it's
the tackle,
the tackle
tunnel.
Tunnel is what it is. It's not the tackle box, the tackle tunnel. Gosh, and now I can't find.
Well, that was one of those games. You keep looking. That was one of those games where the retired referee in the booth with them didn't give referees a good didn't give them a good reputation. One of those where he was like getting a lot, like at the end when TCU is going to score, he's like, man, it looks like he got that ball over the goal line. I'm like, okay, that sky cam isn't right over the goal line. It's behind there, right? And so it's obviously not an angle where you can tell correctly. And he was so obviously short. But I think, I got that wrong.
I think K-State might have touched the ball last. I mean, if the ball comes out of the hand of the defender, yeah. How is it a pass?
I don't think the arm moving forward thing at all matters, or the open hand, or what we always debate is, okay, is his arm moving forward when that ball leaves his hand and lands forward, which is usually the argument. Okay,
yeah, propel the ball forward.
Is the arm moving forward when it slips out and goes forward? Is an incomplete pass or a fumble? That's a totally different deal there. That is a ball getting knocked out of somebody's hands backwards.
And such a cool play. Like you mentioned, you've never seen it before. None of us have ever seen this before that I can think of. I want those to get rewarded if the rule doesn't fully cover it.
It's like a basketball play.
Yes.
Blocked it.
Yes, it was absolutely. It was a basketball rip.
Article 2A. A pass is forward if the ball strikes the ground, a player, an official, or anything else beyond the spot where the ball is released. All other passes are backward passes. When in question, a pass thrown in or behind the neutral zone is forward rather than a backward pass, exception games using instant replay. When a Team A player is holding the ball to pass it forward toward the neutral zone, any intentional forward movement of the passer's hand with the ball firmly in their control starts the forward pass unless the player clearly starts to bring the ball back with firm control to the passer's body. If a Team B player contacts the passer or ball after forward movement begins and the ball leaves the passer's hand, a forward pass is ruled regardless of where the ball strikes the ground.
I don't think that explains that, because I think that's still assuming the quarterback released the ball, which he did not.
Also, if you watch as well, as he's moving forward, he then starts to stop.
Yeah.
And that would fall into the, unless the player clearly starts to bring the ball back with firm control to the passer's body, it's not to the body, but he is almost like that was a pump fake and starts to bring it back, and then it's hit and goes back. The whole thing was screwy, and I'm glad K-State won, because that would have been a pretty sour way for you to not get a game-changing play that you made the play on Duggan, and yet some weird, odd rule says, no, it's an incomplete pass, and they get the ball right back.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, they never legislate, okay, which way is the arm moving? Is it moving in the direction of a forward pass or something? Because if that same thing happened and he's looking to make like a swing pass sideways, what do you call it? Because his arm's going sideways there. I mean, it's not going forward. I don't think I'm sure there have been plenty of times where wind's been involved where his arm's going forward slightly to throw it maybe 2 yards down the field, and the ball gets blown backwards, and it's called a live ball and fumble. So I don't think the arm moving forward on basically a fumble matters.
I was going to have a lot of fun with this rule
when it lands behind you
during the Cleveland and Houston Texans game, because Deshaun Watson had a pass attempt where he was getting ready to throw it, and then he started to pull it back and pump fake, and the ball slipped out of his hands, and it went straight to his left, about 7 yards to his left, and then bounced and immediately bounced towards the end zone. The Texans pick it up and run for a touchdown. It's called a touchdown and a backward pass on the field. They later go, after further discussion, the ball was a forward pass. It landed about a half yard in front of where he released the ball. But I was going to have so much fun with that if it landed either lateral or behind. Like, whoa, no. His arm was clearly moving forward when he threw that ball. How could it pot? And he was trying to bring the ball back. How could that possibly be a fumble?
Here's
he
an example we've seen a lot. I can
Tuck
remember
roll.
A handful of times you've seen a player throw and it just slips out of his hands as he's going forward and it goes backwards. And that is a... Yeah. That's a fumble. That's
empty palm.
Yeah.
It's the empty palm rule to where, okay, the ball's already out of his hand, but it's like...
It went backwards.
If he's... I mean, yeah. I it would have been a lot more of a conversation around that game had they lost. Kind of like the, how is this punt... How do you get the protection there as the punter? But anyway. It's that's what happens for one team. where it's like, how does a screwy play hurt you and you lost? Versus K-State that wins the Big 12 and in dramatic fashion.
And look, I think Duggan's a heck of a player. Dude, 2 years ago, I took the boys down to watch Oklahoma State and TCU. I think in his freshman year, he'd made a couple starts, and he was atrocious. One of my sons after the game was like, How does Duggan get like a scholarship?
Dad? Does he have a scholarship?
I'm like,
your son wanted Duggan to have a scholarship.
And so he's come. He's built right. He's just kind of a linebacker playing playing quarterback. But I feel like he was kind of like Tiger Woods U.S. opening it a lot of times when he knew the camera was on. And it really hurts. I'm gonna get up and run 30 yards, and then it plays over. Oh, I can barely move my body
in the end zone. Yeah, I'm gonna take an extra beat here on the paint.
Look it up. Okay, how many cameras are? Okay,
yeah. Situational awareness.
Damn, I was gonna talk about how he got beat up and what it looked like.
He was bleeding out of several spots on his body. It's impressive.
He was good. He was leaking blood at different spots. Like, he was a car that had been through.
He was running like a 4-4 and wrecking dudes during the play. After the play, it was like Jim Brown after he got up after every play, right? Like a World Cup soccer player after somebody.
I thought.
Or Jesse Bates.
Who was.
Jesse Bates, exactly.
Unbelievable.
That's got to be fine. I mean, you got to. They're doing that in basketball. You got to do that in football.
I thought that who was the running back for TCU that got stopped on third and fourth down? And what Sonny Dykes said, the third and fourth down calls had to do with Max Duggan being beat up and not necessarily going with a quarterback sneak or a bootleg or having him just sort of run it. I thought the third down play he got in. It looked like the arm had extended over the goal line, and then his own player kicked the ball loose. But
I mean, because, like I said, that camera,
it's not directly yeah, you're
over.
Right,
and
you're
if
right.
it's behind a little bit, it's going to look like he gets to the line before he does.
It looked so close to where what's crazy is like that scores if his own lineman's leg doesn't come and kick the ball loose. I mean, that is a touchdown if it doesn't happen. But wasn't even close on the fourth down. That was just K-State just stuffing it on fourth down, which that was the play I was surprised that they didn't go like a bootleg, sneak out like a tight end and put Duggan in space and say, well, I'll throw it or I'll just run it and dive and just continue to do this heroic stuff. And when he got stopped, it was like K-State's winning the they're winning the Big 12.
When they went for it, I'm like, that's the only option you have to go for. Did you want them to go for it? Did you think they should?
No, I think as often as you can get a kicker on the field, you should do it pretty much every time.
For somebody like myself that had the over 60, I would have rather them kick the field goal and then K-State kick a field goal to get to 62 and then figure it out in double overtime at that point.
I also wonder if this factored in at all to Sonny Dykes and the coaching staff. We're going to overtime in the Big 12 championship game. A lot of people have already said, even if we lose this game, we're in the playoff. We're in overtime with a team we've already beat.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to make that case.
And by losing
that we
this
beat
game,
everybody.
And by losing this game, this team's going to be in the top 10. Yeah. So our one loss is going to be a team in the top 10 that we already beat as well.
We're going to go for it here. We're not going to be afraid of losing here. We're going to go after it.
And I think fourth and one at the goal line in overtime, I know that if you don't get it, it's a field goal, but I think that's a go for it every time.
Well, especially the way that game had gone. I mean, they were picking up that kind of yardage. And it's been a long game. That defense is gassed, but they made a hell of a play.
Right, and see, that's a good point, is because Duggan gets all of the, boy, he was so beat up and so gassed. Yeah, because K-State was fresh.
Yeah.
K-State's defense was just fresh and tidy, and it was like a U.S. men's national team. Just, okay, so here comes Gio, here comes Wright, just fresh legs running on. K-State's entire defense, just all fresh legs running out there to play. They were also gassed. They also had 11 points scored on them the previous two drives at the end of regulation. Now they're down at second and goal, or I guess third and goal from the one, because the second and goal was Duggan diving for the end zone and Finn falls, you know, a half yard short or whatever it was. So they had two downs from the 1 yard line to stop TCU after three possessions of giving up a field goal, touchdown, 2-point conversion, this drive in overtime, and they manned up twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's part of the takeaway. Even with, Duggan was so heroic in the loss and the effort, and they deserve to be in the college football playoff. I'm glad the committee put him in.
Proud of the committee. I'm very surprised, too.
Yeah.
Because once again, Saban gets a mouthpiece at halftime of, which game was it? Was it the Big Ten game
they
had him
on? Big Ten game. It was the Michigan and Purdue game.
And he's so
game.
Good at, like, he's going to campaign for his team. And half the stuff he points out, I'm like, that's dumb. And what about the other side of that? What about your your wins and not just focus on the two losses of 4 points. But he knows the game, and I thought Sonny Dykes was not great afterward, kind of campaigning for TCU. I'm like, oh, here you go. This is it. But it turns out K-State was going to be in the Sugar Bowl probably no matter what.
Yeah.
And TCU was going to be the 3 seed apparently no matter what. We didn't even play that game.
Unless when K-State was up 11, if they were to do Michigan to Purdue or Michigan to Ohio State and just TCU starting to just desperate and K-State scores a couple more touchdowns, that might have been convincing enough to them go.
I think once overtime hit, they were going to be it. I thought they would slip to 4. Obviously, the USC lost there. Yeah.
Which is what happened. By the way, the USC game, that's the one I should point out because Michigan pulling away from Ohio State, that's fine. But USC wins, and they're going to be in the playoff.
Now there's like 2 spots for your margin of error instead of 1.
But if USC were to lose close, there was talk of do they get in because their second data point loss came in a game that Ohio State didn't have to play in a championship. If they lose close, no, they didn't lose close because USC started getting desperate, started going the, oh my God, we're losing, and Utah started going, yeah, we're going to punk you, and we're going to continue shoving it down your throat. And TCU didn't let K-State do that. If that happened, I would be curious to see what the 4 teams in the playoff would be today if they would have found a reason to put Alabama in there and TCU number 5 and go, well, you know, TCU, they played so many close games, they found ways to win, but K-State just beating them like they did. You know, you can make a case that K-State should have beat them the first go around. That would be 2 losses for TCU, which is what we just think that they could have found a way to explain away TCU being left out in Alabama in there, but they didn't. They fought back and got into overtime, and at that point, it should have been, you know, TCU getting in and K-State getting ready for Alabama.
It's a storied tradition in college football. Teams not winning their division, getting to go to the college football playoff and the national championship game, a la Nebraska about 20 years ago.
And I think Oklahoma did it. Miami,
yeah, and then Alabama 1 year didn't.
Alabama won the national championship without winning their division.
Yep, 2011, I remember that. The team that got third was Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it was BS. Oklahoma State should have been in there.
And so I was happy that the committee, which will be very different, I guess, in a couple of years, they'll be at least including a lot more teams, and I cannot wait for that. Out of college football for like kind of accelerating that. Yeah. I figured, 2032, that's when we'll do the playoff.
Of note, conference championship automatic qualifiers, K-State's in the tournament.
K-State's in.
K-State's in the playoff today if this was 2 years from now.
And probably.
And by the way,
with a great chance, let's see, they would have been, if they're the 9 seed, right, which is where they finished, and the top 4 get byes, you're going to have them playing the 8 seed, right, which was
Utah.
Utah's pretty good, but hey, roll with it.
Give it a chance. Yeah. Hey, who cares?
Roll with it.
Who cares? Utah's good. Cool. It's the playoff.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
Alabama's also good. And they're in the Sugar Bowl. Yes. The season's still over there.
In college football, there aren't going to be many Pittsburgh Steelers getting into the playoffs like last year, where it's like, this team made it somehow. Yeah. They're going to get smoked by 30, but they made it. Good for you. The old pat on the back. Nice job. Klieman's going to have K-State in the playoff. I mean, this is a K-State program that will win the Big 12 with Chris Klieman and be in the college football playoff.
Are you saying pre-expansion or post-expansion?
Probably post.
I'll post.
I'll go.
I wanted to clarify.
They're not doing it next year.
Yeah, I had to think. I'm like, could they do it next year? Like, I don't even know. I haven't began looking at the rosters that stuff. You know, but in 2 years when it actually starts, automatic qualifier for the conference. Yeah, I think K-State's going to be playing in the playoff.
No doubt.
Because I don't believe in Cincinnati and Scott Satterfield.
Why not?
That is an amazing story. If people did not see this today, the Louisville coach took the Cincinnati job today. Louisville's playing Cincinnati in the bowl game.
No way.
Louisville is playing Cincinnati in the bowl game, and the Louisville coach, Scott Satterfield, who was the App State coach when Eli was the offensive coordinator, and then Satterfield left for Louisville. Eli Drinkwitz got the head coaching job at App State, and then the Mizzou job. He just took the Cincinnati job, which I'm not sure what Cincinnati wanted. Louisville's going to fire him. So good for him in what Doug Gottlieb called resetting the shot clock for the coach. So you're still collecting a check. You're going to be in a Power 5 program, and you reset the shot clock. You got another 4 years where you're getting a nice paycheck. And now the team you're joining, are you going to
coach either one? Probably best to just sit that one out.
Can't imagine. And the best part is like, That shouldn't be the best part, but just perfect college football business. This morning, all the Louisville players are tweeting out, what? Hold on. Found out this morning on Twitter like everybody else. Found out on Twitter like everybody else that their coach was taking the Cincinnati job. Who they're playing in the bowl? That's just unbelievable story.
They didn't skip the post-game news conference like the Jackson State players did.
Yeah.
Because Deion was telling them.
I know. Which, by the way, we can get into that because, oh boy, Colorado is going to be fun.
How about that for an intro meet and greet with your players?
I think that happens a lot, by the way. I think there are a lot of coaches that sort of...
Oh, I think it comes... People come in and are like, I'm bringing guys in or whatever.
Ripped off the wall.
But it's not... They're not that honest about it in front of everybody.
Where, saying, you know, I'm bringing luggage with
it's
me.
It's Louie.
And it's Louie. And go to the portal. I mean, that happens in private conversations
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
Where you have the individual meetings. Yes. You might want to look somewhere else.
And no.
I don't think you fit in,
oh, yeah.
in our plans. Yeah. But that being recorded and, yeah. oh boy. Colorado is going to be interesting, and maybe Matt Rhule succeeds at Nebraska. I think they made a good hire in Matt Rhule. But if Matt Rhule did not get fired in Carolina, a program that had success at one point and was struggling to find footing and was sort of middle of the pack, but they've got some things to recruit to, and they're a bigger Power 5 program, bigger as in like they're a Power 5 school, should have been lining up to sign Deion, to hire him. Colorado did, and all of the conversation is transfer portal is buzzing with wanting to go to Colorado. They broke the news he was taking the Colorado job. An hour later, the number two wide receiver in the country decommitted from A&M and committed to Colorado.
Wow.
An hour later!
Wow.
There have been over 200 players in the portal that have reached out to Colorado already in about 24 hours. If you're a pro... Colorado, I mean, maybe he fails, but he's going to get some players. He's going to get some people to Colorado. And by the way, what a great campus to recruit to. I mean, oh, by the way, look at the mountains. It's beautiful. Now let's go play Power 5 football. You know, we're still in Pac-12, whatever. Colorado's going to be fascinating to watch. Deion's going to be fascinating to watch. And he's going to be entertaining. And by the way, he even said it. It was a 60 Minutes interview he did like a month ago when they said, when it was talking about Jackson State and what he's doing with HBCUs. And they said, you know, bringing the attention to the HBCUs and having maybe more of an option. What happens if a bigger school comes and calls? He goes, I'd have to entertain it. He goes, I absolutely have to entertain it.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, look, there are a lot of things that goes on in life, but I would be stupid to not entertain an offer from a bigger school if they're going to come calling. Why would I not?
As long as you also do that for kids who would like to get transferred to a better situation, a bigger school.
Absolutely.
Got to have that same energy for the players.
I would agree. He better because he's going to be working in the portal a lot.
Well, are they good enough? I mean, if they're good enough.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Not just him. I mean, in general, if you go, Deion, well, you know, that's the capitalistic ladder we'd all climb.
Yeah.
Got to also the player.
And by the way, when we point out others, I don't think everything should be made one way or another of just anecdotal stories, but good on Will Howard for not transferring. When Adrian Martinez came in, he didn't portal transfer. He didn't get out of there. And now he's a Big 12 champion quarterback. So there are anecdotal stories in different sides. Joe Burrow, maybe we don't hear from him if he doesn't go to LSU. If he stays at Ohio State. Maybe it's, damn it. Now I'm thinking of a world where Joe Burrow is just some random quarterback as a backup somewhere and not the quarterback of the Bengals. You son of a gun. To hell with you, Edo! Let's take a timeout. Learn funniest best next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Do you guys want a teaser for the cuts that we'll get to later?
Yes.
By chance?
Yes.
They might or might not involve some McNipples later.
Okay.
McNipples.
Like right. Mix nipples or a McNipple? Is that like
Can I get a large unsweetened tea and some McNipples?
Take six or 12.
Take a Big Mac and
six count honey McNipple.
Do you want the Mc? Yeah, let's get two McNipples. We got a coupon.
Kids? No. Okay. No. No big deal. Nope. All right. Just
want honey mustard or sweat with that.
Kids want a McNipple.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, let's get to a Learn Funniest Best right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What we learned from the weekend, funniest from the weekend, best from the weekend. I learned that I forgot about that, and I really love that returner. That's what I learned.
I like it a lot.
913-912-4810. So this wasn't going to be my learn, but you know, I learned it. Not a good idea to be a crypto billionaire.
Yeah.
Since another, so today.
Another one?
A fourth crypto billionaire was found dead.
Oh, whoa. Dead? What? Who?
A fourth crypto billionaire.
I heard about the one who scammed all the athletes. I think he's still breathing, though, right?
Yeah, but there's
Nick,
now,
that's not specific enough. It's kind of, I don't know.
Fourth crypto billionaire found dead near beach in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Roughly 24 years old. Most of them are, like, in their 20s.
Okay.
Wow.
Probably doesn't pay right now to be a crypto. You know, that sounds cool to be a billionaire.
It does pay, just in a different currency.
It's, good call. It does sound cool, though. Like, oh, man, be a billionaire. Doesn't sound cool to be dead, though.
Can I get the billionaire part and not the dead part?
Yeah, you know what? Can you pick and choose?
Yeah. Can I itemize this?
Can I get the billionaire part without the crypto part?
Yeah. Can I get the mick without the nipple?
Maybe like money, they found a new way to breathe.
Be awesome.
Breathe chain.
So what I learned over the weekend, and I'm
bit oxygen.
I'm kind of I forgot that this was what I wrote down for learned, or I would not have mentioned it there at the end of the segment. What I learned is how crazy Colorado football is going to be for the next couple of years, because of all of the portal stuff that's going on, and Deion Sanders and the video that comes out of him essentially telling his players, like, look, man, I'm coming and I'm bringing my own luggage, and it's Louis Vuitton. And
you know, it took me so long to figure out what he's talking about there.
There were people in the replies of that tweet, like, who's Louis? The only Louis I know is...
Yeah, because I read it
Louis Vuitton.
I didn't hear it first. I read it, and it's Louis.
And it's Louis.
Oh, is he a really good quarterback in the portal or something like that?
Is it Louis Sanders? Is there a...
Louis Jones?
Is it Louis from Christmas Vacation who had his he was on fire? Louis,
Uncle Louis.
So,
is it Haley Louis?
This came out yesterday.
It's Haley Louis.
This came out yesterday, right after right after the wide receiver had committed to Colorado. Says a source at Colorado tells me over 200 recruits and portal transfers have already reached out in the last 12 hours. Some of them are 4- and 5-star caliber players. Deion Sanders has a chance to make some noise before signing day. NIL money is also running in, rolling in with the alums, I'm told. Source said, I've never seen anything like this in my time here. Fast. That's what I learned, is that if you're going to make a splash and win the press conference, does it then result in continually making a splash and winning after that? And I was sort of bringing it up with, you know, Nebraska got Matt Rhule. I hope it works out great. If Matt Rhule is at Carolina, then I think Nebraska should have been doing whatever it took to get Deion Sanders as well. Because here's the thing. If Deion fails, over the next 3 years, kids will be talking about Colorado. They would have taken trips to Colorado. They would have seen Colorado on TV, because he's going to get some primetime games on television with Colorado. If he succeeds, you've just done it well enough to where another Power 5 team is going to take you from Colorado to there, which means you were winning games at Colorado or Nebraska. So I hope it works, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be great to watch. And yeah, I mean,
it could be fun either way.
It's going to be a great litmus test in that, like, maybe he's a great coach, but I've always thought of him way more of a recruiter, and that probably wins out a lot of times, because it's Jimmy's and Joe's, right? But if you surround your guys, yourself with, you know, excellent offensive and defensive coordinator and coaches, I mean, he could win quick, just like he did at Jackson State.
He seems to be as real as it gets, like, to your face. The conversation he had with the players, the interview where he said, yes, I absolutely will entertain an offer from a different school. Are you kidding me? Yes. Him, whether it was embarrassing or people liked it, didn't like it, calling out the reporter for code switching when he was doing the interview, and a lot of people felt uncomfortable with it. But he was right to the guy's face about, you know, come on, man. If you're going to act like this off the air, don't all of a sudden change your approach on the air. Just be you. He's going to be real right to your face. We'll see. Josh learned.
I learned that the Panthers released quarterback Baker Mayfield today.
What?
I also learned that the Chiefs can't beat the Bengals. And I also learned that Baker Mayfield is 6-2 versus the Bengals in his career.
Whoa!
So what I really learned is that it's time for the Chiefs to fix their Bengals problem by signing Baker Mayfield. He only plays games against the Bengals, otherwise it's Patrick Mahomes. Mm. But against the Bengals, better record, checkmate, 4D chess.
You know, in baseball, you can do matchups. You can bring a pitcher on for this particular guy.
Yeah. Maybe he's just your opener.
Chiefs don't have a Bengals problem. They got a Baker problem.
Exactly.
That's it. What'd you learn, Mick?
I learned that high school football success in states does not translate necessarily to college football success in states, in that not only was TCU the first Texas school in, 9 years and 9 playoffs to make the playoffs. TCU's the first school from Texas to make the playoffs. There's been only one Florida school to make the playoffs. Hmm. And who do we think? Texas, Florida, California, the best high school football.
Yeah.
Zero California schools have made the playoff.
Wow. There you go. I learned that just now, too. That's fascinating.
You taught us today, Mick.
Thanks.
Yes. And a California team didn't make it because of Utah us over the weekend. Beards, what'd you learn?
I learned that I had to delete all my sad Bengals fans comments from yesterday, and now I get to go and do sad Chiefs fans comments, and I'm working through that.
I just learned
that three sad Chiefs fans right here.
Yep.
Not sad.
It's going to be a good time.
Oh, that sucks.
Never going to see the light of day. None of the Bengals stuff.
Oh, that's too bad. Funniest for you, Josh. You'll start this one.
I mean, nothing now. my funniest is Andrew Perloff, at least formerly of the Dan Patrick Show, McLovin. He tweeted out a screenshot of the College Football Playoff Committee watching the games on Saturday. They're all in this, like, golden room. There's not a notepad or laptop to be found. They're in what appear to be deeply uncomfortable chairs. Basically, it looks like a hospital waiting room where, like, you'd have Family Feud on the 12-inch TV up in the corner while you wait to get some terrible news. That's what the College Football Committee looked like in this game.
My basement is a lot cooler place to watch than that place.
They were having the least fun of anyone in America watching K-State TCU.
Who tweeted this out?
And you can, some really intrepid comedian in a penguin costume quote tweeted it on the day. But Andrew, at Andrew Perloff.
Tweeted it too?
I did. I quote tweeted it at the time. But at Andrew Perloff. Well, I can just, if you'd like to just see the image to
I want to look at it myself.
Just the 1:43 p.m. means we probably ought to just look at the image in front of you that I'm holding up so we can keep it moving. Nope. Good. Okay. Very good.
Ignoring it because I'm going to find it myself. When did you tweet this? I'm looking for it right
Saturday.
Now.
I tweet a lot, Jason. Tweet a lot. A lot of scrolling.
It's going to be a
lot of scrolling. You know what? I'm going to set the computer there. So if you look at me, you'll have to look through that to see.
What was your funniest, Mick?
My funniest from the weekend was Jalen Carter of Georgia, who's going to be one of the top draft picks probably in the NFL draft coming up in April in Kansas City.
What?
He sacked Daniels, the quarterback for LSU. Did you see it? He picks him up with his right arm, and they blow the whistle, so he's not going to take him down to the ground. So he literally has him picked up, and he throws up the number one with his left hand. And in the air, Daniels, who's being picked up, actually starts laughing as his Carter's picking up this other gigantic human and walking around with him. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Maybe he could follow the Chiefs. But I doubt it. I think he's going to be top. One of the top guys.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice to go and get a pass.
He was on the ground. He was 88, was on it. The pass rusher was on his knees and got up while picking up the quarterback. This is unbelievable. Somebody draft this guy.
With one arm.
He's got two arms, though, if you draft him. He only did that with one arm. Okay.
Yes, that's incredible.
One arm. Yeah, okay. He celebrated with the other.
I'm just wondering if somebody tuned in.
Can you imagine how good he'd be if he used both arms?
I just want, if somebody tuned in and they heard Josh say, you know, somebody should draft this guy, and you go, with one arm. He has two, but he was just saying that's what he did that play with.
Pretty good story.
Yeah.
Funniest
also
for you, Beards.
I think this was Sunday or Saturday. I don't remember which. There was a Kings versus Clippers game in L.A.
Hell yeah.
And Light the Beam chants started breaking out as the Kings were winning that game.
You do
on the
that.
Road?
You do love that.
On the road? They got Light the Beam? Ugh.
You do love that beam.
I pretend I know what that means.
Love the beam.
You do love the beam.
The Kings victory beam. They shoot a purple light into the sky whenever they win.
Yeah.
It's like Mace Windu's lightsaber.
That was the joke, is that they hardly ever do it, but now Beards is obsessed with
it. It's a
great idea.
My funniest is transfer portal opening up, and Dominic Lovett, who was already reported was going to transfer, he put out the statement in his transfer that says, I would like to thank the University of Missouri and Coach Drinkwitz for giving me the opportunity to pursue my academic and football goals. I wouldn't change these past 2 years. Friends, experience, ups and downs, highs and lows, nor the wins or losses. It all has brought me to my current level. On December 5th, 2022, I will officially enter the transfer portal. With that being said, let's drop our nuts and continue to play football.
Let's go.
Dominic Lovett.
Let's go. Local school had to be recruiting him. Number two to Luther Burden could be nice. Oh, no.
What was the best for you, Mick? What was your best?
The best for me, listen, Sports Illustrated tweeted it out. So it's got to have some validity. If it was anybody else, I would be looking for the edits and say no way. But Steph Curry hit 5 full court shots in a row.
Hey, Mick.
After practice.
I stopped watching after the first one because I thought it was fake.
Me too. I did the same thing.
I just stopped watching.
How do you know?
It's fake.
He was there.
It's a play on a LeBron commercial that came out years ago where he was hitting all the half court shots.
But that was real.
That one was also fake, Jason.
What?
How did they edit it?
Hey, with a computer.
See, I didn't do it like real to real. People made the deal like it's fake, but okay, how? Because I'm looking at everything, and why would Sports Illustrated?
Well, because put that out? Because they're not sports animated.
That's good point. He's the only guy in the world that I would believe. That is true.
Absolutely.
Right? You have that moment of, was this real? But no, it's fake.
No, and I'm usually cynical on those things.
With you, man. You are the only guy in the world who would believe that. Is that what you said?
If he were to be throwing those or shooting them where it was almost close to like a shot he would take in a game, instead of throwing it like it's a hook shot, if it was like, you know, all right, I'm going to take a couple of steps and fire it up like you would a half court shot. Then I'd be like, okay, this might be believable, even though it's full court. But the throwing it, you know, hook shot, almost like you're throwing it like a baseball. I'm like, I just can't see that happening. I don't think he practices enough for that.
So he was in on it, obviously.
Yeah,
because he said that's 5 in a row at the end.
Yeah, I think he was in on it.
And then they in the midair, they just kind of edited that ball to
falling every time.
I only watched the first rep of it. I did the same thing, Jason.
Is he throwing a real ball? You think, or was that all computer?
I think it was all CGI.
See, here's the deal. When you say it's fake, you got to tell me how.
Yeah.
You got to tell me how.
Technology.
I'll look into it.
More specific. Beards, what was your best?
My best was the New York Jets arrived in their game against the Vikings this weekend. They were all wearing Mighty Ducks jerseys.
Nice.
And it was Braxton Berrios wore a Hawks jersey walking up. So if you know Mighty Ducks, you know what that means. He's the bad guy.
Yeah, he is the Hawks. That sucks. My best from the weekend is Chris Kleiman getting it done, man. In 4 years, they would have. And I loved his reaction after the game on the field when they were interviewing. He's like, couldn't even really answer. We just won the Big 12. We just won the Big 12. We won the Big 12.
That's awesome.
And it's like, well, no, I'm asking you questions about, like, what happened. We just won the Big 12. Shut up. We just won the like, he was so, like, in disbelief himself that it took place. So that was my best of, like, so often coaches are like, yeah, this is what we set out to do. And we reached our goal. And, you know, I'm buttoned up. And I didn't even like getting hit with the Gatorade bat. That's ridiculous. And you know what? We're just going to get back to the grind. We got Alabama next. Or we got the Sugar Bowl next. We got to worry about. And this is a great. He was like a kid. You know, like, we just won the Big 12. I thought that was great. I thought that was my best from the weekend. All right, Josh, your best.
Beards, we have time for 2 minutes of audio.
I mean,
he's so annoyed.
Not really.
That's what I thought. Okay. I can do it next. I can wait. It is 2 minutes of hard to edit down audio because this is Haven Wolf. She does some work in the sports world in Cincinnati, but here she is known. As well, this is actually before Chiefs Bengals. I think it was actually before even Titans Bengals. Was
it? I want to hear this now.
I do too.
This is Hayden Wolf. Shout out to Justin Jones on Twitter for sending it in. After getting her wisdom teeth removed, she had a whole lot of things to say about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
We'll hear that next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I felt like stuff exploded inside of me.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so let's hear these 2 minutes of fantastic audio, Josh. This is your best. Want to set it up again very quickly.
Yes.
Very quickly set it up. Go.
Haven Wolf in Cincinnati got her wisdom teeth removed and then recorded. She had a lot of things to say about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Before the Chiefs game. And before
actually,
the
before
game.
The Titans game, I think.
Burrow's jersey came in handy today. I didn't wear the pretty one because I didn't think I should.
Well, I wouldn't want you to get that one messy. What's wrong, sis?
I know he's got a girlfriend, and I'm happy for him, but I'm not happy for me in that situation.
You love Joe Burrow, don't you?
talented. And let's be honest, I go for ambition, not look. We play the Titans on Sunday. Jamar Chase isn't even a sure thing, and I miss him. But then, even if we get past that one, well, then we got the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and he's so good, and everyone knows it. And he makes those Subway commercials. Lola Rogers and the Browns. Joe Burrow's never beaten the Browns, and they're historically the worst franchise in NFL history. I mean, my goddamn hero can't beat the Browns, Mom.
Mom.
He's the running back. We got dang Joe Mixon. He's got a dang concussion. I don't know if he can even play on Sunday.
Oh, Sissy. Do you think Jamar will be back on Sunday?
They said they were going to let him practice, but that doesn't mean he's going to play. And should he play? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I never have been.
It's fake. Fake.
Amazing.
Dousing your dreams.
It's real.